Thank you for tuning in to episode 11 of the Try Games podcast. I am your host, the hungover Austin, and I am here with my three cohorts, Mr. Alfred.
Antipode.
We have Ethan.
Yep.
And we have Tony.
I need the souls.
How is everybody today?
Fine, thank you.
Feeling the heat.
You're feeling the heat. You're indoors. You're feeling the heat.
Feel my heat.
I feel it.
So instead of actually talking about video games today on this podcast, we're just going to leave them to sing. Gentle.
And I just heard clicks all across the country of iPods shutting down.
Ram. Yes, all three of them. But yeah, so today we are going to talk about one of the articles that I put up, one of the opinion pieces that I put up a couple of weeks ago about trying to get games on a bargain at a cheaper price and how that affects the industry, perhaps. Before I do that, we're going to go around the table, if you will, and see what we're playing. So, Ethan, I know you're pretty excited about this one. First-person porn, I mean shooter game. What is it?
Debbie does Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter.
Bam!
It's awesome. Yeah, I've been playing Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter for PC. I really just started playing it, and I'm really, really, really impressed. I've never seen an environment react that realistically. You throw a grenade under a truck. You know, if it's under the front left tire, that's where it raises up. Eventually the gas tank will explode, brick crumbles, and cement kind of explodes, and dirt does what it's supposed to. And
to be clear, you are not using a physics card, right?
I am not using a physics card.
Okay, so even without the physics card, it looks great. Okay.
That's right. I'm using a high-end PC, but no physics card. And this game makes me want to go buy one, but I'm not going to, because Austin says don't yet, which I won't.
But it's $300.
It's $300, and this is the
only
game.
And it might be duty!
It might be duty! But it's a great game. The maps are good. It's easy to pick up, but it's definitely hard to master. I died a lot on normal level just in the first hour, and it's just really a great game.
Is there anything you hate about it or?
Yes, I hate that it's still without. I haven't patched it yet, and it's buggy. If you peek around a corner. Many times the screen will start flickering violently and you'll be staring up at the clouds. This is very, very annoying.
When you do like the lean?
When you do a lean around a corner, if you're pushed up too close to the corner, and there's two problems. If you're pushed up too close to the corner and you do a lean, the screen goes crazy. It's having a trouble with the collision with the building.
Secondly,
if you're just too close to the building, it doesn't. Your reticule will show like your gun is out, but it's not because it's saying you're too close to the building. But it doesn't do a good job of kind of telling you that visually.
Gun is not out. Okay.
You know, it doesn't take the reticule away or something, or it doesn't show. You know how in a lot of games it'll show the gun out and then it'll show it kind of down when you don't have a shot or when you're blocked by something or too close to something. It doesn't do that. So yeah. I hate that part of it.
Oh, you know what I call that? I call that whenever you get close to the wall and lean, you get a seizure.
Exactly. That's right. And it happens to me in life. So it's expected in the game.
It's happening to me right now.
Every time I lean around a corner trying to shoot somebody, I have a seizure.
Mm-hmm. Happening right now. Jack Thompson, you hear us?
Yeah. But I highly recommend the game. It's really impressive. But you need ridiculous, system
machine specs.
It's crazy.
To be clear, for everyone, it is slightly different than the Xbox 360 version. The levels are what was it again? The levels are more open and expansive in the PC version, correct?
Yep, that's correct. Good. Graphics are a little bit higher tuned in the PC version if you have the hardware. And the voice, all the audio is ripped basically directly.
Okay, so the audio is the same.
Yeah, and the PC version is supposed to be a little bit more buggy, and the AI, Austin's saying that the AI may be a little bit more...
That's what I read.
Maybe
that's
a little dumber in the PC version, right?
Yeah, you have trouble, like, in Maximum PC and GameSpot and IGN and PC Gamer, all of them are like, you know, it's really a bitch to get your soldiers to do what you want them to do. Whereas the 360 version, they just do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've messed around with it, and for my first impression is that it works properly.
Where am I supposed to go?
I've not tested it out fully. I did catch them doing one stupid thing. You know, I sent them around a corner. Almost all the time beforehand, they'd walk up to the corner and they'd kind of slow down, look around, and kind of do the right thing. This time, he just flew right out into the street and got completely hammered.
Did he throw a flashbang into a room and then walk into the room and then open his eyes and then look at the flashbang and then go, oh shit!
Flashy.
Other than that, it was pretty good. You know, you're always going to have some of those hiccups. It's never going to be perfect.
Right.
But I haven't played it enough to make a decent review of the AI yet. So far, so good.
And I think one last difference is that, and this is probably typical of many PC and console versions of a game, is that the 360 version is a bit more arcadey shooter, just a bit, and the PC version is, as usual, very tactical. So anyone who's deciding on which version to get, make your choice based on the level of simulation or tactics you want.
Yeah, to add to that, actually, the tactical gameplay is actually, I think, a little bit different in the PC version. There's a interactive map where you can do a bunch of planning stuff that apparently you can't
that's
do.
That's gone from
Xbox
the 360 version. Yeah.
Right, and that's actually really cool. Anybody who likes the old Rainbow Six series, not as of the newest one, where they really did make it more arcadey, but the older stuff where you have kind of a map and you can tell guys to go do a bunch of stuff and they go execute it, that stuff's in here, and it's really well done. You can time orders, so you can set up a series of orders per unit and then have them execute it based on a certain time or all together. So it's pretty intuitive. It's well done.
In your retail store for $49.99! Oh!
Yeah.
Sorry. Tony, what are you playing?
Sadly, I'm not even anywhere near that level of playing new games. And
that's okay.
Right now,
the
I'm
old
playing,
fart?
Right now, I'm playing True Crimes, Streets of L.A.
Okay.
I'm almost done with it.
Wait, the New York one or the L.A. one?
L.A., Streets of L.A.
The old one?
Yeah, very old one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make sure, because you were playing the New York one at one point.
No, I wasn't.
Oh.
No, I never have.
Oh, Al was. Al played the New York
sorry,
one.
Sorry, okay.
God damn it, Ethan.
Sorry!
It might be duty!
In any case, what is great about this game, and Ethan's played this as well, so he could attest to it, it's open-ended in that you can go and clear like certain scenes, and in the midst of doing that, you can stop crimes that are happening on the streets. We're talking rapes, drug deals, anything that you could think of, car chases, carjackings, pretty cool stuff, and that actually adds to the fun, well, to me at least, to the fun of that game. I actually, instead of doing the missions, just go around on the street and start arresting people, you know? You know, that's it.
Stop downloading music!
You have illegal music on your MP3 player!
You jaywalk, let me shoot you in the back.
Shoot in the back.
Anyway, for those who have played this game, and if you didn't know, the way to tell who's carrying drugs or weapons on the street is that when they walk by you, they don't look at you. So keep in mind, as soon as you press the circle, it'll search those people who are not looking at you, and 100% all the time will be charged.
That's
and
good.
You know, but that's pretty much it. I'm not sure if that's the same in the New York version, but if it is, that'll be cool as well. Things that I hate about this game, and they're very, very few. One of the things I hate is that they try to put, like, kind of Metal Gear Solid stealth kind of missions in it, where you have to, like, go around, and it's just silly. This whole game should be just straight-out shooting, gun-ho, you know, no breaks in the action where you have to do something that's, you know, silly as this, you know, that really doesn't have that much to, you know, that affects the game, because the very next scene, it's going to be a shootout anyway. It just makes it makes no sense. Go out every time in a blaze of gunfire, you know, so that's one of the things I hate. The car physics are great. Yeah, sure.
Did you finish the game?
I did not, and the reason why is because I'm too busy stopping crimes on the street.
Have you gotten to the
too
Chinese
much crime
part?
In the streets.
I'm sorry?
Have you gotten to the Chinese part?
Well, let's see. I've gotten to stage four where it branches out, and it's got two different missions. One is the Russian mafia, and the other one's a prostitute syndicate.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Al, I did finish the game, by the way.
Part yet. So I won't talk about it.
Oh, and there's another thing that I hate about this game. The dog bones, they're absolutely impossible to see. I mean, you really, really gotta, like, luck upon them, because they just mix in with the background so...
The bones suck. Yeah. But Snoop Dogg is really cool. It's worth it.
Well, I'm sure he is, but, you know, you gotta search. And this game is huge. The driving in this game, I don't know, I'm pretty sure the streets were modeled after the real,
it was.
L.A., okay? But, I'm sure the buildings and everything else are different and stuff, but it's huge. In order for you to get to where you are, to, where you start, to Santa Monica, it's almost like you're driving down there for real. Okay, it's really, really huge, this game. And, you know, if you're going to be perusing around through the game trying to find dog bones, it makes it that much more, aggravating. Because it's just a huge, extensive search, you know. So they should have left that out of the game, I think. If you want Snoop Dogg as a good character, it should be based on, you know, your performance in the game, good cop or bad cop. And whoever's breathing, getting hot and horny because my review is good. No, and that's pretty much it. And I guess this will tie in with the Thrift Seekers kind of thing, you know, because this game is available in your bargain bin right now. So if you haven't played it, go get it. It's pretty damn good.
Seeking Thrifts. Al, what are you playing?
Phoenix Wright.
Besides World of Warcraft.
Al, I'm going to talk about that.
Good. Good. What are you playing again? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Objection!
I am currently enjoying that game. And I recommend it to anybody who likes drama.
Well, stop getting excited about it.
I'm sorry.
He can hardly contain himself.
I'm really going to sound very excited about anything right now.
You got to keep your emotions in check.
I'm so excited I can't even take it.
I like the game's witty humor, and I like when the lion-ass witnesses lose it when you start proving them wrong with evidence.
What game is this? I didn't even hear the title.
Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I showed you that for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets real deeply crazy.
It's Japanese.
And then when you,
That explains
when you think it's over, it's not, which is really cool. I like that. And the only thing I don't like about the game is that the next one isn't here yet. And that I can't play the old ones.
Huh? That you can't play the old one?
The Game Boy ones.
Oh. That really the only thing you hate about the game?
Yeah.
Wow. Strong endorsement. Did it sleep with you?
No.
To get a higher rating?
Oh, don't you hate that?
I did play before I went to sleep, and it was lying on my bed next to me.
How sweet. Was it sucking bow, its thumb? Chicka, bow,
chicka, chicka. It was sucking its wrist strap.
let's move on before we move on to more suckage. I have been playing. We already went through the PC through a PC game, so I'm gonna bring out the GameCube game. I've been playing Star Fox Assault. anybody who's played the original Star Fox will know that. Will know that like the shootings, the spaceship shooting sections are just plain out fun. Mm-hmm. It's nothing revolutionary. It's really pretty. The dogfights are really, really. There's just no other way to put it than it's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's not truly involved. It's not like a flight simulator type of thing. It's not like you're not like flying F-16s or whatever. So it's very easy to get into. They're both kind of what they call on rails shooting, where like the game just moves and you follow it. And there's also some stages where you're basically dogfighting in an open arena so that you have freedom of movement. And I like that. But the thing I absolutely hate about this game is that they take you out of the plane and put you on the ground on foot. So you're running around like you're playing a shooter. And it would have been alright if it weren't for the fact that, A, as Al said to me once, it's not called Sand Fox. It's not a ground-based game. B, the mechanics are horrible. Whoever programmed this game, obviously, well, it was Namco. I love the death, Soul Calibur, and everything, but they just messed up the third person shooting sequences. It's like they gave us Dead to Rights, which was decent in terms of control, and all these other games that they've given us in the past. And then they don't know how to program this Star Fox game. It, like Fox just moves too, like the analog control is way too sensitive. Like if you're on like a ledge, you might fall off really easily just because you can't control it.
So it's like the Jeff Fortz Gemini kind of engine again.
Maybe, but no. I wouldn't say that. Like, see, here's the thing, Al. I think you played Jeff Fortz Gemini. Right?
Yeah.
And you like, what was the control like in that then? Because I know that. Really?
Yeah.
It was ass?
No, it was. It really was.
Really?
The
okay.
Shooting, the shooting was kind of
all hard. I
think I still
have that piece of crap aiming game. It was good, but if the aiming was better, or if the interface with the camera... Oh,
right.
Oh my God.
You know what game was really bad at that? What is it? MDK? Armageddon? It was made for the PS2 system a long, long time ago. Like, one of the first games. And, wow. Wow, horrible. Horrible. I mean, and it's worse than Jeff Force Gemini.
Really?
It's horrible.
Well, in the case of Star Fox, it basically controls, on the ground, it controls like a first-person shooter with the dual analog sticks. It's just the fact that the sensitivity is way too crazy. And given the fact that I don't even believe in console first-person shooters in the first place, you know, it makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get cool moves, like you get to roll from side to side to evade attacks with the L button, and then you get to go into a tank, and the tank control's even worse than Fox's in the ground, so it's like not even worth it. And the worst part is the fact that so far, it seems like it's half and half split between action and flight. And I'm like, first of all, you shouldn't have this at all. Second of all, if you're gonna have it, don't split it 50-50 with the flying. The flying should be the huge majority of the game. Don't stick me in some stupid tank that rolls on the ground like a freaking gymnast and shoots stuff and yeah, I'm done ranting. But yeah, Star Fox Assault. Anybody who wanted, who wants like a real Star Fox game, I would honestly suggest just go back to Star Fox 64 on the N64, because this one, you're not going to get as much meat in the flying stages because there's just not as many of them, and it's just half and half, and the action sucks.
So
the ground stages.
Is that like Star Fox Legends?
You Star Fox Adventures? Star Fox Adventures was totally like that. That was totally different. They just basically made a Zelda-esque game and stuck Fox in there. That's basically what they did. And then that game controlled fine. The problem with that game was the fact that like it was a scavenger hunt game. It was like, okay, now find me 7 of these, 16 ketchup packets, and 5 bells, and 7 flowers, and 3 toads, and then I'll show you how to find these 7 Bathmodads, which will get you into the arena, which will let you find 7 pantyhose and shit. Bathmodads, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was that game's issue, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, that was not, I don't even consider that a Star Fox game. So, that was just an adventure game, but, Bathmodads. I just also like to throw one more thing in there. I've been playing Fear on the PC as well, and as great and scary and action-packed as that game is, the level design is starting to remind me of Halo.
Oh, boy.
In that it gets repetitive. You're in an office building. Yes, it makes sense that everything will look the same, but it's getting annoying. So that's one thing about Fear that people should know about it. Yes. And I'm done.
Yay!
I am. So now on...
Sorry.
I thought you already had it.
Fear?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
No? Oh, nope. Okay. Nope. Well, I do.
Sweet!
That's
you're the
fantastic.
Best.
And you don't.
I'm getting it today.
Okay. You could download it through a digital distribution actually if you wanted to.
No, I'd like to have it.
Okay.
Will it
I was just gonna say
computer?
That. No, nothing will work on your computer. I'm surprised you're even recording this damn thing on your.
Stop making fun of me.
But
Anyway, as part of one of these podcasts, eventually we're going to talk about how we're going to force Tony to get a new computer. And we're going to list the specs and the prices, and he's going to have to pony up the dough, and we're going to get it.
Oh, God.
It might be doo-doo. It might be Dude, okay, so on to the topic, which is Thrift Seekers, which is the title of the opinion piece that I wrote. This was basically spurred on by the fact that Atari recently announced the readjusted fourth quarter financials, and they lost a shit ton of money, like a huge amount. And this is, I'm not going to say this is like an industry-wide trend, but a lot of companies are in the same boat with it. Like, Take-Two is just taking a hammering on the financial side, and a lot of it could be because of hot coffee. So, I mean, that's different. But companies are losing money everywhere in the gaming industry, and I think the other thing that made me think about writing this article is that Satoru Iwata, the president of Nintendo in Japan, was saying something about, you know, game prices and how he wants to keep it set to a standard, because what happens is a game comes out for, let's say, for example, ballpark figure, $50. Nobody buys it. They wait till the price drops, and then they buy it for, like, what, $25? Now, meanwhile, they're sitting there expecting people to buy a game at full price. You know, development costs make game expensive, advertising, retails, whatever, makes the game prices what they are. And people who are just, you know, sitting and waiting for the prices to drop might have a detrimental effect to the industry at large in that, hey, they're not buying our game at the full price. They're waiting. And now we're not getting the money back that we thought we'd be getting. And, you know, it just kind of disrupts the cycle of, okay, well, this game is now X years old already, and you haven't played it yet. But we've got this new game on the shelf, so now you're not going to play that one because you got to play the old game. And by the time you get to this other new game, we'll be in the next generation. So it does two things in that it may potentially harm the industry, and it also kind of disrupts the cycle of new games versus old games. So my piece just basically kind of discusses that and asks the question, you know, should we as consumers be expected to not behave as consumers, which is, yeah, we freaking look for the good prices to pounce on, right? I mean, we all wait for sales. We all, like, you know, if a game isn't worth the $50, we'll wait till it drops to $30. That's just general consumerism. It's just general behavior. Should we eschew that in order to support, you know, this hobby that we really do love? Like, if we really do care about the industry and we want to see great games come out, should we be sitting here and waiting for prices to drop? Or is that just the way it is? I mean, should the game industry just buckle up and get used to the fact that we are going to look for cheap-ass gamer deals? You know?
They better. Thug life.
Thug life! Dave Chappelle, it ain't your wife. I'm sorry, go ahead. Who wants to chime in?
I'll chime in first.
Not everybody all at once. Come on, man.
Bam!
I somewhat agree with Satoru Iwata and what he says about prices and crap. I think that for support of the industry, the game should be purchased at the regular price, but I think that after a time, it really should go down because of the fact that, well, first, there are people who can't really afford a game when it's released. And there are some people who still can't even afford a game or feel that it's worth the money that it's being priced at.
Right.
You know, months and months after its release. Then there's always, you know, isn't there some kind of, like, economic law that brings prices down after time? I'm not really sure.
I think there is. I mean, you can see it in everything else. Right. You look at DVD sales, it's the same thing. DVDs start at $20, and then after 5 years, they're $5.
Yeah, like $6.99.
Yep.
And the thing is, what's interesting is that for the DVD case, it's like that's after 5 years. But with games, sometimes you see the prices drop dramatically. Like Beyond Good and Evil, nobody bought that. So after about 3 months, it went down to like $20, and it's a great game.
I think it was like
I would say
weeks.
That you see that with movies too, though. I mean, look at Geely.
Oh God!
I bet you I could get that DVD for 99 cents. Anyway.
Yeah, well, then now you're getting into the argument. Well, Is it because the consumer is informed that they might be buying for $50 a very bad game? Wouldn't it be advantageous for them to wait until that goes down? Then they wouldn't have buyer's remorse to that effect.
I think it's more of a standard economics discussion. You know, it's supply and demand. It's when stuff is new, it's at full price, and then as the demand drops, the price goes down. I mean,
I think Al was saying something. Go ahead, Al.
Oh, I was just saying that,
it kind of jumped in there, sorry.
You know, you have that law, or whatever, and it really should go down after a while to first get the people who feel that the game isn't worth the money that it was originally priced for, and second, to get those people who are really just looking for that extra game. Like,
right.
What I do all the time, if there isn't a game that I know I want to get immediately, like say if I played it already or I say it's not worth it or something, like for example, I can give you three games right now that I'm waiting to drop down to at least half of their price that aren't. That's Final Fantasy IV Advance, Minish Cap, and something else. Oh, WarioWare Touch.
That's a great game.
WarioWare Touch.
He doesn't want to tell us.
Those are
already.
Three games that are not going to go down for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how long Minish Cap has been out, because I remember it was being demoed at the E3 2004 when I was there. And
yeah,
it came
Zelda
out 6 months later, so it's been out for 2 years almost.
Zelda Minish Cap has been out. Yeah, but well, you never know. They could put it in a player's choice, because that probably has sold enough to be put into player's choice, so you'll be able to get it for 20.
Probably
at
hasn't.
Some point, huh?
It probably hasn't, because Wind Waker's already been player's choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that, and you know, Wind Waker came out I think earlier than that, so I guess maybe have more time.
Wind Waker came out a long time before Minish Cap.
Yeah.
It's not based on the amount of time. Remember, it's based on how many units it sells.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It had more time to sell.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah.
I think Ethan? Also the you have to look at what the average income of the average gamer is. I guess.
Right. Right.
Because somebody who has tons of money, they're more likely to just go spend the full price if they want the game. Period. They really don't care. It's not a matter of waiting till it goes down to $20. But I think what's interesting is the average gamer is getting older, obviously. So
yeah.
As the average gamer gets older, probably the average gamer has more money. And as the average gamer has more money, maybe you start to see their higher video game prices when they first come out, new release games, or a longer wait for them to drop because people are simply willing to pay more
right.
because they have more income. So I think it's a couple of – it's not just I don't know how the industry – obviously, whoever you know is running marketing at any one of these companies is going to be studying how to price a game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's pricing new releases at $40 or $50. That seems to be some kind of sweet spot. I would imagine that whoever the analysts are who are looking at that are right. The issue is as the gaming audience gets older and the younger audience is still there, right? You know, high school kids,
yeah.
college kids, they don't have any money. So $50 to shell out for the game is a huge amount of money. Which is why you have increased piracy, and then people who don't pay at all for games, and maybe that's more of a problem for the industry than it is for like the record industry or anything else. I don't know.
I just want to say that when it comes to people paying full price for a game, it's sometimes it's just based on brand recognition. Like they have a franchise with Zelda, so most people will go out and pay $50 for a Zelda game because they loved the whole series, or at least a few games from the series. And if we're gonna support a game, it doesn't really support the video game industry just to go for full price for one specific game that has that has developed a fan base, okay? Because that doesn't really give a chance for the other games to become, unless they're really good, I mean, to become a fan base. Like, I don't know, new Spyro games. I think that's, like, dying, okay? I mean, you know, it at one time, they had a fan base because I guess it was, they didn't have too many games like that back then. But now now this industry is just flooded with a whole bunch of clones. I don't think there's really a true Zelda clone, though. I mean, there's games that emulate some features from the Zelda games and stuff like that, but in all honesty, Zelda is Zelda, and you're going to pay for Zelda, okay? You'll be hard-pressed to pay for something that is, you know, a knockoff, okay? And essentially, I think most of these games nowadays are just knockoffs of something. There's no originality, and it's the same thing in movies. There really is no originality. They're relying on remakes or like, you know, movies that have the same storylines as movies before that. Same thing with games, you know?
Fast and the Furious, Tokyo yeah, Drift.
Exactly.
That's a totally different movie than those
Shut up.
let's just put it this way. If we There are many people that are just sick and tired of buying a GTA clone. Okay, GTA when it first came out, that was the marker, I guess, at that time. Everybody, you know, they saw something that they didn't see before. Okay, or not necessarily all at once, and they loved that series. And I'm. You know, that's going to be a game that you're going to pay $50 for. Despite your your financial status. Okay, you'll save up to pay for that game when it first comes out. So you're supporting that company that makes that game. Most people are not going to support the games made by these developers that are just ripping off Grand Theft Auto. Okay, so that affects it too. So what are we showing support for? Should we be showing support for the video game industry, or just a certain part that gives us the games that we love?
That's a good question. I don't know, if you ask me, what it points to is if we don't support the, and this is just me being hypothetical, like I don't necessarily believe what I'm about to say, I'm just saying what might happen. I'm just giving details on what might happen,
right.
And then I'll offer what I actually believe, is that there's a possibility that we don't support the game industry as a whole, we'll see a mass, like, consolidation. We're seeing it now. EA is gobbling up all these studios. Microsoft bought, you know, all these studios combining and converging, okay? We'll see a mass, you know, kind of shrinkage in terms of amount of studios out there, amount of developers and publishers out there, and potentially, you know, the less we have, the less variety we might be faced with, and also the more control fewer entities have over more products. That's not necessarily a good thing, but at the same time, I don't see how probable that is just because we decide to save a couple of bucks on a game. I think Al touched on this earlier, is that, yeah, I think we should support the industry that we like. You know, we're sitting here talking about how much we love games. Well, we should, you know, help it thrive. At the same time, you make a very good point, and I agree with this, in that, like, well, we would support the industry if they came out with good shit.
True.
And we want it to succeed. Therein lies the question. How do we make it succeed? Do we keep on giving them our money so that they can succeed and possibly churn up more crap? Or do we withhold our money? Or do we withhold our money and send them a message saying, hey, look, we love you guys, but you got to stop giving us all this crap. We're not going to buy your crap. We're going to buy the good stuff, and we'll show it. We'll show you how we're going to support you, but you got to do us a favor back in return.
Well,
you know, how is it? You know, how do we do that?
I'm sorry.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Wouldn't the adverse effect of consolidations of publishers and game developers, wouldn't that in turn have these projects be put into a studio that has the money to produce a game like this and has the means to take a loss on a game for a little bit, okay? Because they know they'll definitely make sequels to a game that everybody loves, and they're gonna pay $50 for it, you know. So I mean, if you're gonna say, like, support every single, obviously you can't. You just can't go out there and buy everything. No, and you shouldn't, because most of it is just garbage. Okay.
Right.
At the same token, if it does get consolidated, then they're just either bankrupting or purchasing a bad company or a good company, respectively. Okay. And that would be, I guess, advantageous, because now they could take the game that you initially cost a lot of money to produce and needed a lot of man hours, and have the money to produce that that game.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
you know.
I mean,
but the reason why you see consolidation in any industry is because the industry is failing, and the smaller companies can't survive, and they have no choice either go bankrupt or sell themselves to larger.
Well,
companies.
Either failing or is just maturing. Because it's also a natural maturation process in any industry when it booms. The consolidation is basically the shakeout section, the shakeout period of any young industry, because I can't think of an example, but it's basically when an industry starts out and it's young, I mean, there are all these Me Too people that pop up, and there has to be some sort of filtration that says, all right, you're bullshit, you're bullshit, you, I don't really like it, you're bullshit, you I like. You, can eat a dick. All right, you guys are getting you guys are getting shaken out, and the market will perform that for them. But you're right, Ethan. It also is that sometimes when the industry fails, yes, that happens there as well.
Well, no, I shouldn't have said cases. I shouldn't have said industry failing.
No, but you're right though. It does happen that way sometimes.
Well,
too.
But it doesn't matter. It's really more of a bunch of companies failing that aren't. It's
oh, okay, saying. I see what you mean. Okay,
it's picking out the ones that not even necessarily are good, but the ones that have the most money. Those two aren't necessarily, you know, they're mutually exclusive.
EA Sports.
Right, exactly.
That's
so, the problem is, though, that when you do have consolidation, those consolidated companies don't go ahead and take risks. They take fewer risks.
Right,
the company,
exactly.
The fewer risks they take. And so what Austin's saying is that, you won't necessarily have... I think Tony's point is good, but I worry that if you... They're not going to spend money on those great ideas that just need an extra boost in cash to make it mm-hmm. happen. They're just not going to take the risk. They're gonna go for MLB 2007, MLB 2008, yeah. MLB 2009, and
right.
You've got this. If you think you're seeing a lot of the same game now, the more of the consolidation, you're going to see more of that. The only thing that we have, I just want to add one more thing. The only thing we have going for us is that since gaming is in the electronic age by definition, and since it's so intertwined with the internet. The internet does amazing things for letting really, really small companies
absolutely.
Release really, really cool things and wreck an entrenched industry, i.e. Google,
mm-hmm.
is a
right.
perfect example. You had a search engine locked up between five popular search engines, no one making any headway, no one doing anything new, and then Google comes along and really revolutionizes the internet.
Flips
from this
the
tiny company, and they do a lot of things, and they're... Their entire corporate structure and ideology is one of a small company. When they released, you know, their company, when they went public, they didn't go through the major brokerage houses and offer special prices for some of the larger companies. Everybody got to bid. The smallest investor got a share at the same price as the largest investor. This was huge. That is a huge deal in any kind of company.
This is when they went public?
Yeah, it's when they went public.
Because, and speaking of the internet... There's another advantage to just where we stand right now in terms of getting better innovative games. Steam from Valve, digital distribution.
Yeah.
I think, is Darwinia available on Steam? I don't know. There's this game called Darwinia that was really inventive. I haven't played it yet. I intend to, but I don't even know what genre it is. But I heard it was like really inventive, really like clever, and it's supposed to be some sort of action strategy game. But it was really fun, and they won some independent game developer conference or something like that. They won the award for best independent game, and they went up there. They're like, you know, thank you for this award. And the guys like came out and said, we don't have a publisher because we didn't want them to fuck with our game. They said that on stage.
Nice,
great.
You know, nice. And that's huge. Like you go to Xbox Live Arcade, and you're gonna get like all these puzzle games that someone decided that hey, I want to develop, and you sell them for $5-$10. I don't know how much control Microsoft. It has over the content or the creativity of the game, but I'm pretty sure that they don't go, hey, here, make this game for us on Xbox Live Arcade. We're going to sell it for $5, and you have to do this, you have to do that. I mean, they have certain standards, as in, like, okay, they have to run a progressive scan widescreen, but they're not going to say, oh, you have to stick Master Chief into the game. You have to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then for the Nintendo console that's coming out, the Revolution, the virtual console thing is not only going to allow you to download Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and N64 games, but they're saying that it might also encourage, again, independent developers to develop games. And could you imagine that if they have that Super Nintendo emulator sitting on that machine,
right.
that... No, I don't have to create a Revolution game. I can go back to my old tools and make a Super Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Genesis game, because they're going to have Genesis games on there. Or a TurboGrafx-16 game. I can make a new game on an old system for a little bit of money and a lot of creativity, and a publisher doesn't have to mess with it. Now, I don't know about Nintendo. Nintendo in the past has been very controlling, so I don't know how they'll handle this. They've been lightening up in recent years, and you know they've been taking huge risks. I mean, the Nintendo DS itself... was one of the riskiest projects
mm-hmm.
that they could have put out. Oh, we have a two screens, a microphone, and touchscreen. So what? Do I care? I don't care. When the DS first launched, that was a piece of shit library that they had.
Uh-huh.
And then a year later, it bloomed because, you know, they were willing to take that risk. So back to your point, Tony, you know, if we are to support our industry,
mm-hmm.
we expect the industry to... return the favor and take risks and give us some stuff. At the same time, there are a whole bunch of people who, you know, they're not thrift seekers and they mm-hmm. don't, you know, wait for price drops, and they go out and they buy like Def Jam Vendetta number 5 from
right.
again, I'm going to rag on them, EA. Right. You know, EA is notorious for just milking their goddamn franchises that I don't even like. Oh,
milking
God.
Dry.
You sound angry.
Hey, they put out the Catwoman game, all right?
Oh, motherfucker, don't even mention that, goddammit.
You know what, though? Christ. I think there's always room for the EAs in the world. Look, there are...
I agree.
There are the Microsofts in any industry, and they're not going to win long-term. Because the great thing about stuff, again, is this is all digital. It's the same kind of problem that the recording industry is facing, which is, as long as you have a digital medium, you don't need publishers anymore. It's the same thing with books.
Right.
I mean, online publishing is huge. Nobody's going through standard publishing anymore because just to, like, you know, to have somebody distribute it and they have that kind of control because mm-hmm. they can distribute it, a distributor has nothing to do with how creative you should be or what should be in the game or content delivery. That really should be up to the creator. And as more and more people realize that and use the internet to distribute stuff, you have less and less influence by publishers and by distributors, and eventually you'll get there. And EA will just lose control because the small-time developer who's got a really great skill set and doesn't want to go through EA will throw something, a demo, on download.com, be like, hey, everybody, check it out. I've sent it in. I've posted it by myself. It'll make the rounds. It'll get money.
Though EA, remember, EA is also a developer.
Yes.
EA is its own developer. It's its own biggest developer, and they're also guilty of publishing their own crap. Right. I mean, they develop... Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like, you know, as a developer publisher, you know, they publish all the repetitive stuff that they develop by themselves, you know.
You mean Madden's not an original game ever? Here you go.
What?
Maybe back in 91.
But I mean, yeah, you take away, like, the small-time people will go away, and they'll be like, you know what, EA, look at this middle finger of mine. It's going up this way. I'm leaving you. Then EA says... Okay, I've got EA Canada. I've got mm-hmm. Black Box. I've got mm-hmm. EA Tiburon. I've got, you know, all... I am a developer, and you can leave. I don't care, because we are powerful. We... Mm-hmm. EA, you know, as much as I rag on them, they are, like, one of the most powerful publishers/developers out there. And, like, they... You know, they... something that you said, Ethan, that EA... There is room for the EAs. As much as I hate it, they're necessary. They're, like, that stabilizer there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they have them.
Otherwise, you're just going to go into
the other advantage of something like EA is if they do see a game that they like, they will go try and buy it, and it's not always such a bad thing. If they go buy a franchise and the franchise happens to be successful, then it's injecting a whole bunch of advertising money into a good game, into a good industry, and that's where EA like succeeds, where the small developer doesn't, is in advertising. That's the only difference, is that when they develop a game and they go and publish it, they have the resources to go ahead and put on TV commercials,
put on
magazine ads, and they spend so much in advertising that they really can get that game seen. Whereas your private game has to be so good and so prolific through word of mouth that. That's what drives the sales of the game and increases.
Yeah, it's not even that. I mean, like, they could put a lot into developing and everything else like that, but they know what they're doing. They know that they're accommodating to the lowest common denominator, the lowest common purchaser out there, okay? Just look at all the crap that has been hugely successful, and none of it is original. Okay, none of it is. They just do it because they listen. They know social mores. They know what sells bigger here and less over here and stuff. You know, so in essence, that's where the problem of the new developer comes in, because maybe they want to take the risks. Okay, and in taking a risk, they're going to be out money. Whereas EA knows they're not going to take any risks. They'll just put out the same crap every day, and you'll buy it, okay? So, should the smaller developer not be original anymore and just follow EA and do what they do and stuff like that, and in order for them to survive? Maybe that's true. Maybe it is. You know,
I would hope not.
Oh, me too, but, you know, I mean, it's just looking that way, and I feel like I was born in the wrong time, you know, where originality is not king, okay? Where thinking, or where having a brain is not important. Okay, and it's just, if you go out there and buy a mindless product, okay, you are in turn telling everybody you're mindless, okay? Well, so if they don't want an original game anymore, it's because you're mindless, you know, automatons. That's it. And that's they don't want to develop for you, for us. You know, they want to develop for them. So, I don't know. What can we do there?
Well, that's a good point, and I think we've talked about this before. Is it really the industry's fault, or is it the people that are buying the product's fault? It's got to be our fault. I mean,
it is our fault.
They're only making money. There's no crime there. We're in a capitalist democracy. They are finding what sells, and they're making that. And if what sells is the same old shit over and over again, then people like it, and they should certainly be able to play it, and there's really nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really hamper originality in the games that maybe fewer people like but do more for the industry as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
Because then there is like a kind of a revolutionary changing game, and then it does, you know, spawn off 15 billion copies, and the mass public, the retarded mass public, winds up playing it. And I don't know. I don't know that it does. I think that it depends on the scale of small developer. If you're 100 developers or a 100-person company developing a video game, that's pretty tough, because then you need enough money to support that staff, and you won't have anything to really pay it back with, and that's a huge risk. If you're 3 developers or 10 mm-hmm. developers, you really have zero risk. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and develop at night. You can develop whatever the hell you want. You can publish the game on the internet by yourself. You can send it to your friends. If they like it, great. You get some money to develop a real thing. You can get an investor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of stuff that I think will never go away. And so no matter how evil or pervasive the EAs in the world get, there's always a route for the really creative guy with a really good idea to get his game sold and made.
It depends, because, that developer can take that route. And then all of a sudden, the big developer either swallows them up or tries to produce a copy that is indeed much more magnanimous, so that the small developer is just basically wiped off the face of the earth anyway.
Right, that's like an intellectual property problem.
Well, it depends on if it's an IP or if it's just
an idea.
General idea. Because if it's an intellectual property thing, then sure.
If it's a general idea, though, then really there shouldn't be any protection on the small developer, and the EA has any right to go and overdevelop it.
Say if it's a general idea that gets tacked onto an intellectual property by a large developer, a large publisher, then that small guy is screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm talking about something where somebody develops a game, and you don't even really need to copyright that stuff. As soon as you write it, it's copyrighted automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this happens in software kind of generally, but it's less likely to happen in a game where you really do develop something new and then another company just goes and steals it. And if they're going to gobble you up, then you know what, that's not such a bad thing. At least the game gets made, and it gets made with a decent budget. Maybe not with all your choices, but mm-hmm. you're getting paid for it, and then you can redo it if you want. And if your game is really better, more people will buy it. Again, it's a matter of what people are going to buy. People are buying what they want to buy. And I guess it really just sucks then if there's this smaller minority of gamers who really do like to see new and creative stuff, and it just simply can't be made in an environment with so many other people who don't want new and creative stuff.
I think you put Austin to sleep.
No. No.
I tend to do that.
No, only
especially
Tony to sleep.
To him.
Sing a song for me.
My foot's kind of numb after that one.
Oh, well, you weren't paying attention.
No.
He said something about your mother.
Oh. Well, I'm having a stroke, too.
But in getting back to bargains, you know, whether you wait for the bargain or not, and how that affects the industry, I think it's a really complicated question, because we all have different motivations at different price points for buying games.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We all will certainly wait for games that we just don't think are that great, and then we'll buy them at a bargain price, and the game company is maybe making more money at the bargain price, maybe making less money, depending on how many copies they sell and what the margin is on the price that they're selling the game for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so dependent on each individual game that I don't know that I would agree with like any one theory about the bargain hunting thing. I would tend to say like I would tend to leave that up to the market researchers who are looking at each individual game's price point and then adjusting it based on whatever the data they're getting.
Just out of personal experience, just, you know, to throw something out there, I'll tell you, like, the only not the only, but most of the time in recent years, the games that I buy a full, the games that I buy at full price are portable games, because the DS games usually cap out at $30. Sometimes they go to $35. Right. PSP games that I've bought are largely the $30 ones, maybe a $40 one here and there. Like I bought Street Fighter Alpha 3 for $40. Right. The console games, a lot of the time, I'll sit and I'll wait for deals, even on the ones that I know will be good, even on the ones that I've been looking forward to. There's this and I feel guilty, a little bit guilty about this, there's this great platforming game called Psychonauts that was released on Xbox, PS2, and PC. It has a great sense of humor. It's just refined platforming. It's like, you know, it's like their version of Mario, and it plays pretty well. It's not entirely original in execution, but its presentation is great. It's, you know, the art style is great, the humor is great, and nobody bought it. Microsoft was supposed to bring it out. It was supposed to be an Xbox game at first from Microsoft, developed by Tim Schafer, who was the guy who did Grim Fandango, I think. Ethan, have you played that adventure game, Grim Fandango? Or, Tim Schafer did that. And he also made this game Psychonauts. So Microsoft was supposed to put it out for them at the beginning of the Xbox's life cycle. It came out 3 years later because Microsoft was like, people aren't going to buy this.
Right.
They pushed it off. And then Majesco, you know, the budget, the quote-unquote budget or risky publisher, which unfortunately ended up failing in that venture because they took risks and they failed and nobody bought their games, published Psychonauts. Nobody bought it. And I was saying for the longest time, oh, shit, I got to support this guy. I played the demo. It's fantastic. I got to buy it. I got to buy it. I got to buy it. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy it until it came out for $15 used in GameStop because I was cheap.
Right.
Okay. Paper Mario 2, the Thousand-Year Door for the GameCube, an incredibly fun game. I haven't started it yet, but I played like its predecessor. It's an incredibly fun game, you know, and I know what to expect from any game that bears the Mario title, not games with Mario in it, like like Tyson's Punch-Out, but any game that's involved with Mario, as long as it's not Where in the World is Mario or Mario Teaches Typing, I know that they're going to put a certain level of spit and polish on it. I've only been failed once, and that's with Super Mario Sunshine, which is nothing to shout about. It was it was okay,
Jesus
right?
Jesus fucking Christ.
I didn't buy Paper Mario until it became a Player's Choice title at $20.
I still haven't bought it.
Al still hasn't bought it because I didn't want to pay full price for it, even though I wanted it badly enough to pay full price for it. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a cheapskate. I'm going to wait, you know. At the same time, I'm going to bring back the question: is don't I have like should I even feel? I do feel guilty, but should I feel guilty as a consumer who wants a bargain? No, I don't think I should, but I do.
Bit of a different question is what you're talking about, because now you're talking about waiting for a game that you know is probably going to be unpopular, yet you'll love, and then waiting for the game to come down, and you know it's going to come down early.
Well, see, that's
a different question.
Well, you know that's the thing. I wasn't sure that it was going to be unpopular. That's not my basis.
Right.
It's actually kind of random. Like I'll just be like, I gotta get this game. I'll get it later.
Well,
I gotta get this
ever,
game.
Have you ever saw a game? You know, you've seen a game come out, or you're looking at, you know, an upcoming game, and you're thinking, have you ever thought, wow, that's probably not going to sell a lot. It'll probably come down in price soon. I'll wait to buy that game.
No.
That's then a question that, well, if you did, you can feel guilty about that. Otherwise, there's really no reason to feel guilty about it. Because they're pricing the game according to what they think they can get. And if they're pricing it too high, they're pricing it too high. And in that case, I guess they're pricing it too high. Why did you not buy that game at full price, yet you bought some other game at full price?
I have no idea.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea. I really have no idea. Like, sometimes I go in, I will literally go into a store, like, and I'll buy a game. And then it doesn't matter what, I'll feel frivolous and I'll be like, I'll buy it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then what you're saying is it's maybe even less about the actual game and more about, you know, how rich you're feeling
that
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got paid recently and you happen to not spend a lot last couple months and you're looking in your checking account and you're like, wow, I got a bunch of extra money.
I feel like celebrating tonight, Smithers.
Right. You just go. You're like, screw it. I'll blow an extra $100 on some games today. Whereas,
like when I bought the Xbox 360 for $360.
Exactly.
Which is going to come in the mail on Wednesday. I'm not going to touch it because I don't have any games for it. I don't intend on buying any games for it.
Yeah. Right. You just wanted to have it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a great deal. I didn't buy it, and I don't even feel like in this particular case, I can totally go and buy it. I have no. It wouldn't be a money issue.
Right.
Right.
I'm holding out for the price drop just because I don't know. I think I have enough other stuff to play,
right,
and I know it'll come down eventually, and then I'll just get it then. And I don't have an HD TV. To me, an Xbox 360 from me is a
$2,400 purchase.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I have to buy an HDTV to really, like, get the most out of it, and so I don't really care until then. I'll buy, like, an old GameCube now, and I'll buy maybe some other systems before I buy
a new GameCube.
A brand new...
well, I know what exactly what Austin was talking about, and you really should feel guilty. Who here has... who here has bought Pikmin for full price?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Wow. Oh, nice. Oh, wow. Tony, you're in the doghouse.
I am definitely feeling guilty about
that. I bought Pikmin for full price. I bought Pikmin 2 for the player's choice price, so...
Oh. Yeah, how is Pikmin 2, by the way?
I haven't played Pikmin 2 yet. I know that if you love... No, but I know that if you love the original, the second one is supposed to be even, like, leagues better.
Really?
They take away the 30-day time limit, and, like, they let you explore and do everything else at your own pace. So I've heard that it's very, you know, it's very fun that way.
Cool.
There's something else to consider also in, you know, when you buy a game, and that's what you're currently playing, what your current library is. I go through kind of buying spurts. I'll buy like
40, Semen!
I'll buy like 40 games at once, and then I'll play them for months, and I'll buy very little. I'll buy one or two games along the way.
But also you have a genre that you generally buy for.
I don't know. I buy up a few different genres, but yeah, I buy mainly in the genres I like. Yeah. I buy, you know, certainly any kind of tactical shooter. I buy racing games. I buy stealth fighting games. Yeah. I buy
strategy.
Strategy games. RTS is absolutely. Those are the things I tend to like, and those are the games I like. However, again, it's almost like scheduling. If there's, you know, Christmas season, there's a bunch of games that come out, and I go buy 10 of them. If you're going to release a game in April, you have to understand that Maybe it's important for the publisher or the developer to understand what the life cycle is for an active game. If there's going to be a really high season of sale, maybe you don't want to hit it. Maybe you need to hit it right in that perfect month when there's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Like the summer, when there are no games out.
Oh, well, yeah, like the summer when there are no games out.
There's Prey, and then that's it.
Well, you look at over the last month, video game sales over the last month tripled for some reason. Nobody knows why.
Because people are buying the games that came out 3 months
in February.
Well, right, but this is interesting. I mean, these, you know, it should tell those marketing guys something. It should tell them when they release a game and they're forecasting what their numbers should be. Don't assume that your sales for your current game are going to be realized in the one or two quarters away from when you sell it. You may look at like a year turnaround, and so maybe that should extend the time until where they bring down that price. It may not be people don't feel that the price is justified. It may be that people, there's 50,000 games that are out there, and I know I have no time to play all the games I have, and I'm going to wait until I'm bored, and then I'm going to go buy another game. And when that's when I'm going to buy it. It has nothing to do, like, even if it's 50 bucks, I'll buy it at 50 bucks then. I don't care. It's just, it's when I have nothing else to play, when I'm bored with what I have.
All right.
Look, I'm all for supporting our video game industry, yes, and I want the hobby to continue and stuff. But they've really got to do better to get me.
I agree.
They got to do better to get me.
I think the pricing structure also needs to change. I mean, honestly, I'm not going to say that. Oh, it can't cost that much to make a game. Yeah, games are hitting multi-million-dollar budgets. So yes, okay, they're going to give us a product that's going to last us for 12 hours as opposed to a 2-hour movie.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Okay. $50.
And there's replayability. I mean, there's a whole. It's a different thing.
Yeah. But at the same time, you have to sit and think. Like, is it really worth that much? Is it and for some of the games that don't require a multi-million-dollar budget, sometimes they're still putting it out for $50.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and it's like, I don't know.
Well, then what
like,
we're saying. Go ahead. Sorry.
I can understand the once in a while like. I'm a collector, and I need to have this rare game because I'm crazy, so I'll pay $120 for it on eBay. Right, that's different. But I'm saying, like, in the norm, you walk into a store, you know, were they really no offense, Namco and Nintendo, but were you really expecting me to buy Star Fox Assault for $50? This is I'm playing it now, and I bought it for $20, and I'm playing it, and I'm like, they wanted me to pay $50 for this?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, not for this shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. It's and the fucking Burger King man is in the Xbox 360 version of Fight Night Round 3.
Yeah, yeah,
okay?
No, I saw that. Yeah,
right.
There's a ton of stuff going on now about advertising in games. It's actually pretty interesting. We should talk about it at some point.
Oh yeah, like, Al and I touched on it very, very briefly on one of our earlier podcasts, but that's something that should be exploded into a full conversation. But to preface that, you're gonna put the fucking Burger King man with his creepy ass face, with his meat on top of meat on top of meat advertisement and shit. You know, I don't even eat Burger King now because that ad's creepy. You're gonna still make me pay $60 for the Xbox 360 version of the boxing game that comes out for $50 on the other consoles, and I don't even think it has a Burger King man because they don't want you to eat meat on top of meat on top of meat. God, I hate the Burger King man. And it's EA.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but this is gonna get worse.
This is double bad. Yeah,
this is gonna get much worse. Really,
Need
really,
for
really
Speed
quickly.
Underground 2. Need for Speed Underground 2 has a big ass singular logo in the corner because that's your cell phone that you use in the game. It's got the singular logo in the corner constantly. Anytime you get a mission update, the singular man flashes on the screen, and then you have to go into a Burger King to get food.
And they still sold the game for
$50. If you're going to put an ad in the game, sell it to us for less. If you're going to put ads in the movie theater, give us an $8 ticket. But then again, movie theaters are losing money, so I guess, whatever. Tony!
I think this is a definite conversation that we should have at full length, because I could rip into them, too. I've got so...
Awesome!
But that's going to be another conversation, perhaps.
Rip open
week.
The scrotum and let the balls fall out. Tear into them.
Exactly.
I actually am a huge fan of advertising in games, so I'll be the guy who gets beat on mercilessly.
I'm actually going to try to avoid to get into this, but just to say, like, I don't, for it, where it makes sense, it adds to the immersion.
You're talking about necessary advertising, where it's appropriate. Like, for instance, if you're playing Gran Turismo, it's only appropriate that you have Exxon.
Right,
and,
there will be product placement
but
that makes sense.
Burger King in boxing, you never see the fucking Burger King man in real boxing. Okay.
Why is he showing the round card?
Oh, yeah, and then he's dancing around for an extended amount of time. Oh, this is bullshit.
Where is the lady in the bikini? Yeah, why do we have Burger King Man instead of Lady in Bikini?
Yeah, even
me
in
want
real
Lady
life,
in Bikini.
Even in, let's just put it this way. Even in real life, okay, between rounds, you never see the camera on a ring girl, do you? Are we now going to go to a trend that instead of going to the corner and looking at replays, we're going to be looking at the Burger King Man during the fucking 1-minute break that these boxes go through? Please
meat
tell me
on
that's
top
not
of
so.
Meat yeah. on top of meat.
Please. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to start talking about this right now, so we need to stop it.
Ranty McRantison. Yep. Okay, so we've just created a topic for next week. Look at that.
Hey.
Bam! But,
tune in for Burger King.
Meat on top of meat on top of meat.
Right away.
Your
meat
way right away.
Cheese and advertising and cheese and advertising.
All right,
meat.
Guys.
Wake up with the king every morning. With his creepy ass face, he might
right
be gay.
Next to yours.
He might want you.
Advertisement. We are big. All right.
Does anybody have any parting shots as for today's topic? Any closing thoughts of donations, comments, donations?
I'll say one last donation. Yeah,
I'll support it if they support me. That's it.
Wait, are
like
you talking
my government
about the advertising thing?
The game, games, game buying games, for
$5.99.
All right, yeah, I just want to say that I think we are showing that we actually have less confidence in the people that are determining the price of these games regardless.
Right.
And that it's more of a sign of, you know, $50 is too much sometimes, no matter what.
Even $20 is too much sometimes.
No matter what.
No matter what, yeah.
With meat on top of meat on top of meat.
All right.
What are you saying, Al? Al is saying something. One last parting shot from Al.
Yeah, I heard Tupac wrote some lyric about Nintendo. He was like, Nintendo, better low price of Zelda.
Might be duty.
Life.
Zelda found some duty in the cave downstairs.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle, that ain't your wife.
All right.
All right, this is just broken down.
Yes. So, if anybody has any comments, which I know you don't because you're jackasses, you don't ever email us, but
duty.
Any comment, it might be duty. Any comments, send it to mailbag@trygames.net, or you can access our email form in the Contact Us link on the front of the page. For Ethan, Tony, and Alfred, I have been Mr. Chupon /Austin/ Hungover. This has been your TryGames.net podcast, and we're out. Damn!
You need to stop playing around with get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back with the lips.